Seekers, the dreamers, the shooting star wishers, in hopes of seeing God. We gather together, the curious, the hungry, the loving, the lonely, in hopes of finding peace. We gather together, those who are thirsty and those with water to spare, in hopes of finding justice. So come to the well. Come to the table. Come, let us worship God. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in singing hymn number 461, God is Here. You may be seated. In today's service, we will hear the story of the Samaritan woman. It is a well-known story of a woman who, in the heat of the day, meets Jesus at a well and asks her for a drink. When was the last time you drew water for someone? When was the last time you drew water for yourself? With open curiosity, let us come to the prayer of confession, trusting that even if we forget our bucket, God will still meet us at the well. Let us pray together. Holy God, we have been the ones who are thirsty and in need of compassion, and we have been the ones with a bucket and a deep well. So today we wonder, how often have we missed the opportunity to share water of life with our neighbors? How often have we forgotten that we have a bucket and the power to bring change? How often have we simply decided that justice and compassion were not worth the work? Forgive our fragile hearts and remind us that it was you who sat at the well in Samaria in the heat of the day. It was you. It is still you. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Family of faith, as hard as it is to imagine, we could lose the bucket. We could hoard the water for ourselves. We could pretend we do not see all who are thirsty. And we would still belong to God. This is the good news of the gospel. God's grace is deeper than any well. We are seen. We are loved. We are forgiven. May this realization change and inspire us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Let us now turn and greet those who have gathered to worship with the peace of Christ. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. It is nice to see so many faces bright and early this morning. It's nice to have a bright sunny day for an hour earlier to join together in worship. There are many things going on in the life of our church. I ask that you take a moment to register your attendance with us this morning. Find the blue pad somewhere in your pew. Fill that out with the information there. If you're a regular attender, you know, you just simply need to put your name. If you are here for the first time or visiting with us or would like to be in contact with us, we invite you to put as much information in there as you would like so that we can be in touch with you.
As I said, there's a lot going on in the life of our church. We gathered twice yesterday to celebrate the life of members of our church. We celebrated yesterday morning the life of Trulada Villas, and yesterday afternoon the life of Bill Guile. And the flowers you see throughout the sanctuary this morning are from the family of Bill Guile, from his service yesterday. Additionally, this week, we learned of the passing of Joan Flanagan. She passed away on March 3rd. And next Saturday, March 14th, we will be having a service for her at 2 p.m. And we have known for a while of the passing of Doreen Willman. Her service is coming up on March 22nd, at 2 p.m. as well. And the family is asking if you plan to attend that service, if you will please sign up in the fellowship hall so that they can prepare for the reception following that service. Today, following the worship service, we have our annual congregational meeting. We will be gathering in the fellowship hall. We will have our usual coffee, tea, fellowship, and I believe a fair amount of cookies, right, Lynn? Please get yourself a beverage and some cookies. And if you did not last week, pick up an annual report. Those are available in the fellowship hall. And then we will gather and call our meeting to order to do the business of the church. And we will be hearing about the budget and electing members to the nominating committee. So please join us for that immediately following the service. Upcoming this week, on Tuesday, you can come read this book with Sherry Plunkett in the Fireside Room at 1:30. On Wednesday, you can join us for casseroles and questions in the evening at 5. We meet at 5:30 for dinner and for study, following our Lenten theme of deeper, honest questions for deeper faith. On Thursday, women can join us for lunch and study. Heart to Heart is meeting at 12:30 in the Fireside Room. We will be continuing our study of the Holy Spirit. And on Friday, anybody who is interested is invited to come participate in handwriting cards that we will be providing to all of you to then take and give to people in your life throughout the community, sharing the Easter message with them, the love of Christ, and inviting them to come participate in our Sunday morning Easter service. So if you are interested in participating in that, there's information in the bulletin. People will be gathering Friday, March 13th at 9 a.m. here at the church to do that. The following week, on March 19th, will be our Thursday luncheon for Young at Heart, and this month's presentation will be about the San Leandro BART district representative, I believe, is coming to speak about all of the things going on with BART in the Bay Area. So come and enjoy a wonderful lunch prepared by Bob Kraut and his team and learn more about that. The last thing I have for you is we will be having a potluck brunch on Palm Sunday, and we invite you to come and participate in that. It will be immediately following the service on Palm Sunday in the Fellowship Hall, and we have signups for all of these things in Fellowship Hall. You can sign up after the service today. And that is the end of my announcements this morning. So as we continue in worship, I invite Sherry Plunkett to come forward for our scripture reading.
Let us pray. God of conversation, we come to you today thirsty. Thirsty for hope. Thirsty for good news. Thirsty for a glimpse of you. So today we pray. Move in these words like a current. Give us the courage to wade into your story with open eyes and open hearts. Give us the courage to drink in this moment. We are listening. We are grateful. Amen. And now I will be reading from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 16. That's page 114 in your pew Bible. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heed not his mercies. time is now fleeting, the moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me.
Thank you, Leland. That was beautiful. Our second scripture today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 4 through 42, where he encounters a woman. Jesus is on a journey, and we are told, beginning in verse 4, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, he said to her, "Will you give me something to drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back into town and said to the people, come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am that Samaritan woman. I am the one that Jesus talked to, and on that hot, dusty day. He saw me at the well, and I was alone collecting my water for the households. There are many stories in our scriptures about men and women meeting and becoming betrothed at wells. And this well is thought to be the one near for Jacob. And not only Jacob had such an encounter, but Abraham and Moses, all of them managed to find wives in foreign lands by hanging out at wells. I had no such idea of anything like that happening to me. As you will see, but looking back, there is an echo of the well being a key location of God's work. And this is, of course, all before the time of the kingdoms, that of Judah and Israel, before the time when a homogeneous religious ethic had been developed. Well, back to me now. I had come to this well long before all the other women had come and gone. You see, the other women wouldn't speak to me. They shunned me. I missed out on everything that the daily water gathering was, the place where women would check on each other, share gossip and news, laugh and cry and care for one another. I was the one alone. The truth is, I had been alone for a long time, long enough that the pain no longer tore at me. Instead, I carried it like a dull ache, another burden to carry along each day. The nearest thing I can compare it to is like walking in a desert wilderness for a long time. You know how you get thirsty in such a place? I was always thirsty. And so there I was, midday, on my own. And so I was impossible for Jesus to miss. And he knew, I think, intuitively, that something had happened to make me the outsider. And he knew well enough all the reasons that might be in our conservative community. But him being there in the village with his Jewish friends, well, that was setting everyone on edge because our people do not get along at all. It wasn't always this way. In the long past, Jesus' people, the Judeans, and my people, the Samaritans, were all part of the same kingdom and we all worshiped the same way. But also long ago, something happened. There was a war, there was a separation, and then began the argument about who knew how to worship best. And that caused a rift between our peoples ever since. We don't talk to each other. We don't marry into each other's family, certainly, and we just try to keep at a distance. In spite of this, Jesus came to talk to me. He did, really, intentionally. He talked to me, the woman that no one will talk with, the nobody. And you just heard, he said the oddest thing. Give me a drink. And I laughed a little on the inside. I thought to myself, this is strange. He's acting like I'm the host of a great house, ready to serve a visitor who's been welcomed into it. But I looked, and across the few feet, I saw all of the barriers between us. Me, the Samaritan, he, a Jew. He, a man, me, a woman. He, a person of some respectability, and me, well. And I looked him up and down. And we had that amazing conversation you just heard. Each time we each said something, it's like we dipped down and down and down until finally he and I had some of the most honest conversation I ever had. He saw me, not the mistakes I had made or the troubled life I have. No, Jesus saw me as God had created me, a beloved child. And then he talked about water, flowing, gushing water, just like the flow of God's Spirit over our mountain. And it came to me that Jesus saw all Samaritans as people just like him, people of God's covenant wanting to worship God in the best way that they knew how. And that despite the arguments, the disagreements, the differences we had, he knew that really, really deep down, we are all God's children. At one moment, he simply said, I am. And that was when he talked about the Messiah. And, you know, it's just saying I am isn't totally clear if you just hear me saying it, but I think I know what he means. That perhaps the matter of Messiah was not just the matter of one person, but of all the people. And it came to me that just like Jesus, I am. I am not simply the woman with all the mistakes in my life. I am more than that. I am. And finally, it came to me, a rabbi, a teacher who would talk to a woman like me was likely to talk to anyone. And by talking, I don't mean giving them a whole new slew of rules or taxes, which is about all any of us see around here. And when he and his friends, who frankly looked irritated that Jesus was doing something odd again, I think, he must do this a lot, they left. And I sat down for a moment. And I took my pail of water, and I'm not sure why I did this, I dipped my hand into it, and I let the water flow over my hands. And I kept saying the name of God as I did it. Adonai, Adonai. And later, after a time, I went back to the people of my village. They must have been really shocked at me showing up and me coming to them. And I said, I met someone who knew everything there is to know about a person. Come and see if he might be the Messiah. And they came. I couldn't believe it. Maybe they thought I was mad. Maybe I looked a little crazy at this point, but I was amazed. They came. And we, as we came up, it was clear Jesus' friends were not happy with their being in the middle of Samaria. They probably wanted out. But this man, Jesus, he decided to stay. He stayed to eat with us, the Samaritans. And he stayed in the village for a couple of days, and we listened to his stories, and we learned about a God bigger than that we had known. This is a God bigger on either than either of the two mountains on which our people's temples had built. This was a God who embraced all people. All those times we had thought to be afraid of the Judeans because they were different. How wrong we were. The mighty people in power had kept us separated from each other for foolish and nefarious reasons of their own. They probably thought they could control us better if we didn't come together. And Jesus changed all that. We learned from him that God, the God who loved the world, had come to save it, not to judge it, and that even we Samaritans could be a part of the plan of bringing God's ways into the world. This time with Jesus was truly an open time of learning for all of us. We felt reborn. And for me, specifically, I was no longer an outcast. This was a sign, a miracle for me, because Jesus talked to me. He could took the time to be with me. And now my whole life changed. Now I had a place in the village, and no longer did I have to come to the village in the middle of the day to draw water. Now, I know what you might be wondering. Was this Jesus the one that God sent? Was he the one that our people have been waiting for all these generations? I believe so. And I wonder who else sees him as I do, as the Messiah. You won't know until you experience him. And all I can say is, come and see. Stay a while. Eat together. Pray together. Work together. Have a drink of this flowing water. The secret is to come and stay, and then you will be new. Then you will know him as I do. Amen. Thank you.
may be seated. Let us now acknowledge and bless the offerings that we give to God. In giving back a portion of what we have been given, we show gratitude for God's abundant love and reflect his character to the world. No matter the size or the method of the gift, whether they are mailed, placed in the box in the narthex, electronically transferred, or given using the QR code in the pew pocket in front of you, God takes and uses them all to bless others, building up both our church and the greater community in which we live and serve. So we dedicate these gifts to the work of God in the world, weaving a tapestry of compassion and action, faith and fellowship, hope and wholeness. We are grateful to have gifts to give, and we pray that they might help to realize Christ's dream for the world. Amen.
As we gather today in worship, we are remembering the family of Joan Flanagan, especially John and his daughter and son. We also received a message of gratitude that for the service yesterday from Bharat Vyas. He wanted us to thank everyone for coming, for participating, and holding the family in prayer. And so today, as we pray, I'm going to say, O healing river, God in your mercy, and I invite you to respond with, hear our prayers. Let us pray. Holy God, whose spirit moved over the waters at the dawn of creation, hear our prayers for all who are thirsty today. We pray for those who are spiritually thirsty, who long to know your presence but don't know where to find you. We pray for those who are alone and without hope, those who long to feel needed and loved, those who are searching for meaning and purpose. O healing river, God in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for all who are physically thirsty, who don't have enough water to drink or feed their animals, whose fields are parched, whose crops have withered, those who have to walk long distances to find enough water to survive, or who have to be content with water that is unclean. We pray for those whose homes and villages are torn apart because of drought or famine. O healing river, God in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those caught in wars in Ukraine, Sudan, Iran, in the Middle East, who long for the bombs to cease, for those who grieve the deaths due to war, including students in schools, those who work for peace and seek to end hostilities. O healing river, God in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who are grieving today, who yearn for the voice, the touch, the sight of a loved one gone, those who continue to cope with loss of abilities, those who find themselves without family they were accustomed to having. O healing river, God in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who are thirsty for justice, who long for an equal sharing of resources among peoples and nations, those who put their lives at risk to protect streams and rivers and oceans, those who are working to find clean water and make it available to those who need it. O healing river, God in your mercy, hear our prayers. And God, we ask that you would open our hearts to the need of all who thirst. Give us the courage to work together for justice, to stand alongside those who are thirsty, so that all people everywhere may live without want or fear, and may discover the abundant life you promise to each one. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of living water, we pray. All this we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Friends, I invite you, as you are able, to stand now for our closing hymn, To God Be the Glory, number 485. So friends, as we go from this place, I bless you with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.